Now, I want to talk about impulsivity. In ADHD discussions, we talk about having trouble focusing, we talk about being hyperactive, but we don't dwell on impulsivity perhaps as much as we should. Now, a mom who sees her son just being impulsive here and there, well, yeah, she's very aware of impulsivity. But what about the college student who isn't hyperactive? At least he's not aware of it. He just knows he has focus problems. Okay, so here we're going to increase our awareness of impulsivity, not because it's more of a problem than you think it is, but because the awareness helps you again to control your own mind. So let's define impulsivity in two ways. Well, an impulse obviously is something that happens in a moment, all right? And so impulsivity or an impulse in ADHD is saying something or doing something as if you didn't have a split second to catch yourself. Something slipped out of your mouth, you reacted to a thought, and there it is. Guilty again. Or impulsive thinking, so that's actually saying something as if you couldn't catch yourself. An example of doing something as if you didn't have a moment to think is let's say I am shopping for groceries. I've been on a diet for 2 days. I pass right by the aisle that has my favorite chips, and I just pull a bag off, put it in the cart. I get home, and I think, what was I thinking? I'm on a diet. I shouldn't have bought that. That's just a temptation. That's going to blow my diet. What just happened? Okay, that's an example of impulsivity, doing something without thinking. Okay? Now, there is another type of impulsivity that I call impulsive thinking. Now, this is a bit of an inaccurate term because it's like you're either being impulsive or you're thinking about what you're doing. But what I mean by impulsive thinking is that we can have thought patterns going that are impulsive by virtue of the fact that they're not well thought out. So a simple example of that, and this happens to me, I'll be looking for something to eat. I'll open the refrigerator door, and there's some cheese in there, probably 3 or 4 ounces of cheese. I think, oh, I could have some cheese. I haven't had any dairy recently. So then I eat 2 or 3 ounces of cheese, which is tantamount to 200 or 300 calories. I didn't need that, and in fact, I didn't think that through. Telling myself I'm going to eat cheese because I haven't had dairy recently, that's stupid. I mean, that's that, but that I do that. I do that. And then it's just like, what did I just do? Well, I did something impulsive and didn't allow myself to think about the potential downside and be responsible for it. And that happens all the time. At my age, I'm becoming aware most recently of that particular problem with my thinking. I'll have a thought and I'll go with it. As if to live spontaneously instead of by intention. So, as I evaluate myself, it's like, okay, I'm glad I'm aware of that. But now that I'm aware of it, I need to think about what I'm going to do about it. Awareness has a way of getting you to do something about those things that you don't like about yourself, if you are of a mind to improve. If I were to improve that, what would I do? You do have to have a moment to think about that and then decide what the improvement is going to be. Notice, once again, we get back to mind control, self-control. Now, since we've talked about chips and cheese, I'm going to use that as kind of a segue into another interesting topic, which I believe also ties into this concept of impulsive thinking. So we're going to talk about being overweight. Does that apply to you? Two-thirds of Americans are overweight, so there's what is it, a 67% chance that yes, this does apply to you. So let's define binge eating disorder. Binge eating disorder is defined as binging at least 3 or 4 times a week. What is binging? Binging on food means that you overeat, you tell yourself you don't want to be doing it, but you're doing it anyway, and then you fill yourself up on it and you feel bad about it. You hide it, and you're usually doing it late at night. Now, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the details of binge eating disorder, but here's the important tie-in in a discussion about ADHD. The one approved medicine for treating binge eating disorder is Vyvanse. Vyvanse is an ADHD medication. Now, we know that medicine and other stimulants for ADHD have an appetite-suppressing quality. But the benefit in binge eating disorder is more than just appetite suppression. What it also suppresses is the impulsive thinking. I don't know how it does that, but for the same reason Vyvanse helps the focus problem of ADHD and the distractibility and the hyperactivity and impulsivity tend to come together or go together, at least in the brain. And so what that medicine is doing is reducing the impulsive thinking. Now I'm going to give you an example of binging. This is when I learned that I have a binging problem. I don't have a binge eating disorder because I don't do this 3 or 4 times a week. But just listen to this story. So there was a time when I was losing weight, and I was actually doing these recordings every day to report my weight loss journey, to be accountable. I figured the accountability is what's going to make it work. And frankly, it did. It did. I was able to lose 30 pounds in a reasonable period of time, and I recorded it all. So you would think that I would go ahead and sell that online course, but I think I decided it wasn't a good enough quality for me to go to that trouble. But the point is, I was recording every day, and so then one night, again, I'm losing weight. Somehow, I decide, and this the way I set myself up, I realized, is watching TV. It's suspenseful. Maybe I'm not breathing well enough, but at some point, it's like I need to get up, go get myself something to eat. So I go upstairs to the kitchen, look around. You know, I'm eating because, and then I'm eating in front of the TV. So I fixed myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I ate that. I thought that was good. And then it dawns on me, I've got some bologna in the refrigerator. I don't normally eat bologna sandwiches, but I did have some bologna at this particular time. And I thought, I can fix myself a bologna sandwich. I have not had one of those for a long time. I'd actually bought it for somebody else in the house. And so I went upstairs, I got the stuff out, I made myself a sandwich, and realized that I had made another peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I thought, well, that's not what I intended to do. I want a bologna sandwich. So I made a bologna sandwich. So then I had the second and third sandwiches. And I thought, okay, well, I'll eat both of them. So I went back downstairs, sat in front of the TV, and I ate one sandwich, and then that is the second one. And then when I got almost through with the third one, it's like I'm holding what's left of this sandwich. There are two more bites. And I thought, I am so full, I can't eat another bite. And then I ate it. Now, that's binging, all right? And the impulsive part of it is, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. That is, you are kind of caught up on a good feeling and a good idea, and you don't even want to think about the potential downside. the potential downside in this case is, number one, I'm losing weight. Number two, I'm going to feel guilty about this. Number three, this is not good for me, even if I'm not losing weight. But I'm not going to think about that right now. And I'm just going to do it, right? That's impulsive thinking. So, again, the point is to be aware of these things. Our job inside our own heads is to regulate ourselves. And the more information we have, the more insight we have into what's going on in there, the better we can come along and do something about that. So, you know, once I realized with this sandwich incident of binging, I realized that's a binge. And now that I think about it, I've done that every weekend for the last 3 weekends, at least once. So then I'm doing this recording and I report that. I say that, okay? This is an insight for me. What I did, I took a lesson from cognitive therapy. I wrote myself a rule. I will not binge. All right. So then I knew if I say that to myself over and over again, remind myself of it during vulnerable periods of time, which is usually the evenings, late evenings, I will not binge. So when that kind of thing is here in the forefront of my mind, that kind of thought, that kind of self, call it self-discipline, but it's really a matter of setting up my own cognitive reminder system. It does tend to work in the sense that it does tend to result in improvement. All right. Now, I won't tell you I haven't binged since then, but since I've been aware that I can binge, my next thought is, but I don't want to do that. And so I'm not. I'm going to stop before I get started, or I'm going to set other rules in place. Rules like I'm not going to eat after 7 o'clock at night. What do I need to do not to eat after 7 o'clock at night? Well, I need to eat a big meal right before seven so that then I'm still feeling full and I'm much less tempted then to binge. So it's an example of how you can become aware of a problem and then put something in place that is for the purpose of improving that problem, mind control. Now I want to talk about impulsive thinking in a bigger way, all right? So we've talked about impulsive actions, you know, pulling a bag of chips off the grocery shelf. We've talked about impulsive thinking and using binge eating as an example of that. Let's talk about it in a much bigger sense, all right? So I've got a few stories to tell here. I'm going to try to be brief because I don't think you want to sit here listening to me tell stories for a long time. All right. I have a rule. Not every bright idea is a good idea. So I want you to listen for that as I go through these stories. Okay. So once I owned this house that had this a concrete driveway and then a circle in front of the house and right inside the circle was this circle or round a patch of grass with a lamp post right in the middle of it. That's all that was there, just a lamp post. And I thought, you know, I can put a garden around that lamp post, plant some flowers there, call it my lamp post garden. Well, I wasn't quite ready to plant at the time, but this was a 5-acre mini farm. I had manure, so I started putting manure around so it would rot over the winter. And so the next year, I knew it wasn't fully rotted, so I planted some tomatoes out there, actually, and that looked actually quite messy pretty quickly. Not a good idea, impulsive thinking. So then by the following year, I knew the manure had rotted and it ought to be, you know, really good soil quality out there. So then one weekend, I got the idea, I've got what it takes to put this lamppost garden together and I can go buy some extra stuff. And so I did. And so in one weekend, I put together this garden that had shrubs and flowers around the lamppost and it looked really nice. And I knew that in order for this to continue to look nice, after all, it was right in front of the house. Had to be presentable, had to look nice. I thought I'm going to have to get out here every weekend and weed this thing faithfully in order for this to work. So I determined that I was going to do that. Well, a couple of weeks later, the weeds were sprouting. Apparently, there were more weed seeds in that manure than I realized. So I got out there and I weeded this garden, and realizing that this is bigger than I actually needed it to be. It's too big, and this is a lot of work. So I think in order to cut down on the work, I'm going to plan to do a fourth of this every weekend. That way, any given weekend, it won't be too big a job. Well, the next weekend, I went out and I weeded a fourth of it, and then I didn't weed anymore. And by September, there were weeds growing so high and right in front of my house that I thought, what is this? You know, it reminded me of redneck jokes where you lose your car in your front yard. I realized that when I put this together, I would drive up to the front of my house on the way to the garage and think, well, that looks really nice. But by September, I was embarrassed that I had let that happen. And I thought, what is this? What is this? And it dawned on me, this is an ADD pattern that I will create, but I won't maintain. And I started thinking of other things that were an example of that. You know, I've planted tomatoes many years, never take care of them, never amounts to anything, never anything close to something I can be proud of, because I'll create the garden, but then I don't maintain it over the course of the summer. So after this experience, I thought, well, I'm not going to do any more significant gardening, unless and until I have someone who can maintain it for me. I'll marry someone or I'll hire someone, but I'm not going to do it by myself anymore. Now, I could tell you similar stories, and I'll shorten this a little bit. There was a time when I had it in my head that I was going to buy some Rocky Mountain horses. I mean, I knew where to get them, and you know, I thought about it over a long period of time, so you know, it didn't feel like an impulsive decision. And I had the barn. I actually had a herd of alpacas, and the alpacas didn't need the whole barn. There were stalls in the barn that weren't being used. I actually spent the money to have two stalls put back in the barn so I could have more horses. And so I had it in mind that I was going to fill up the barn with Rocky Mountain horses, and then we were going to, you know, they were going to have foals, and we were going to sell the foals in the spring, and then we were going to do the trail riding during the summer and fall, and it was going to be a great lifestyle for me and the kids. Well, I had great fun with that for like the first 6 months, but then I was going out to the barn twice a day every day. I didn't realize that here in Kentucky, the pasture turns to mud in the wintertime, unless you have a lot more acreage than you really need. And I had 5 acres. There was no way I could have my horses outside over the winter without turning my place to mud. So they stayed in the stalls all winter. Of course, I would let them out in the hallway of the barn to get a little exercise, but that wasn't right. And I knew it. And I realized at that point that I did not think this through. You know, I set this whole thing up, and then, but I didn't think it through. I didn't create a business plan. I didn't think through the downside. Do I really want this? Am I really willing to put the work into it? What's it really going to entail? You know, and instead of just saying, "Oh yeah, I'll do it," I mean, I grew up doing that kind of thing. Yada yada. You make excuses. You do it. That's impulsive thinking, because you're not slowing down and letting yourself consider everything, thinking through it, letting yourself be concerned about the negative aspects of it. Could that be a problem? Because to consider the downside is to take all the fun out of it. Now, remember, I've talked about ADHD as one of the rules. We thrive when we're having fun. Yeah, we do. But then we learn the hard way that it's not enough just to have fun. You've got to think about that potential downside. I did not think about the amount of work it was going to take care of those horses, the expense that it was going to be to feed and hay and vet bills. And I should have known that because I'd had alpacas for years, and that was a reasonably successful business, but still not with the business plan, not thinking it through, not disciplining myself, but having more fun than being a good businessman. That is impulsive thinking. I could tell a similar story about rabbits that I bought for my kid. Spent a lot of money on rabbits, only to realize, okay, we're not going to be in the rabbit business. This is not what we really want. Okay. There was a time when I decided, when I was practicing neurosurgery, that I was going to build a daycare center. That was going to be an extra thing that I did. And after putting a whole lot of money into that project, but before building, I got cold feet and realized that, that's just, I have enough responsibility. I'm not taking on a large daycare center. And so I essentially poured that money down a hole. So I've talked about these things enough. Those of us with ADHD are entrepreneurial. Yeah, great. But we learn the hard way that that's not enough. We have to consider the potential downside if we're going to be emotionally mature. And if you can't discipline yourself to do that, then the idea is don't go down that path. Not every bright idea is a good idea once you scrutinize it, once you think it through. A word to the wise. Now, procrastination. You know that at some point in a discussion about ADHD, we're going to have to talk about procrastination. So what is that? Procrastination is putting something off until later. Why do we do that? Usually, without being particularly long-winded about procrastination, it boils down to a simple thing. We're putting off something that we've already decided is important, telling ourselves I'll do it later, because our minds want to do something that's more fun. So it's like, surely I don't have to do that now. What can I think of that I could do that it would be more fun? Now, there are any number of reasons why you might procrastinate. Maybe it's overwhelming, maybe it's going to be unpleasant, maybe it's you're thinking it's going to take a lot more time than you have, so you're overwhelmed by it. But procrastination is an example of impulsive thinking, because you have a thought and then you make a decision without thinking it through. It's the same pattern. Impulsive thinking is having a thought, deciding to do something, but without thinking it through. All right? So with procrastination, you would catch yourself, no, wait a minute. This is something I scheduled to do. I plan to do it. I put it on the schedule because it's important. I thought it through. I don't want to have to think it through again. I need to go ahead and do this thing instead of procrastinating. So be aware of that pattern. When you procrastinate, you're putting something off that's important in favor of doing something that's fun. That's not emotionally mature.